Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Roger Kim, the Executive Director of the Asian Pacific Environmental Network, which organizes and builds a leadership of Asian immigrants and refugee communities to achieve environmental and social justice. Before joining APEN, he worked at the Oakland Foundation as the Environmental Program Fellow and at Global Green USA. In addition, Mr. Kim is on the board of the Center for Environmental Health and the advisory committee to Congresswoman Barbara Lee. Welcome to Background Briefing, Roger Kim.
Thanks for having me.
And the explosion that took place on Monday at the refinery, the Chevron's refinery in Richmond last night, residents of the community met in a very raucous meeting where the Chevron spokesman was roundly booed. What's your sense of whether or not the people in this community around this refinery are in danger and have been in danger?
I think the community members in Richmond have been in danger for much too long now. This is the second refinery fire in the last 5 years. Chevron has not replaced old equipment that's been a part of this refinery for 50, 60 years. Some of the oldest parts of the refinery, and my organization and others have been demanding changes to the refinery to make it operate more safely and pollute less. There's a lot of anger in the community, and rightly so. Chevron has not been a good neighbor. They have not been transparent nor accountable in creating these kinds of situations. So I think a lot of people are fed up.
Well, of course, Chevron is California's largest corporation and its single largest contributor to greenhouse gas emissions. And this refinery was built in 1902. So clearly there is a problem here, isn't there? I mean, how much of the $27 billion in profits that Chevron made turned back into upgrading this refinery, do you know?
I do not know that, but we certainly know that, even in this year, they've made almost $13 billion in profits in the first two quarters, and yet we have a situation where, simple fixes to make sure that this refinery operates in the most safe possible manner are not being done. But I think it's also symptomatic of where the oil and fossil fuel industry is in this country and around the world. Eking out as much profit as possible on the backs and health of communities of color in particular, while our climate is getting hotter, and they're not making the investments in actually shifting us away from fossil fuels that companies should be making. So this refinery fire in Richmond is just emblematic of the kind of challenge we have in the rest of the country and around the world in taking on fossil fuel industries like Chevron.
Well, Roger Kim, it also indicates how frail the supply chain is, because already prices of gasoline are going up in California, and apparently they are expected to go up over $4 a gallon. We were just enjoying a downturn in the high price of gasoline, and now, because of this one fire, apparently gas in California is going to get more and more expensive. So what does that say about this supply chain and how tenuous it is and how much we depend upon these refineries?
I think this accentuates the point that we need a transition away from these fuels. The supply chain is only going to get even harder. Not only is it important that we transition away to make sure that we're protecting our climate and people's health, but the future of our planet depends on it. We can't depend on fossil fuel anymore. We actually need to accelerate our transition to cleaner and renewable fuels. And with companies like Chevron hanging on, as hard as possible to keep these kinds of refineries going and not investing, to eke out as much more profit as possible, I think is a huge problem.
So Reuters are reporting that in response to this fire at the Chevron refinery in Richmond, California on Monday, Reuters are reporting that the Richmond refinery, as I'm just quoting, has long been a matter of contention for Bay Area environmental groups, and I imagine that includes you. In 2008, local groups sued to halt a planned upgrade to the refinery that would have allowed it to operate more efficiently and to produce new types of crude, arguing the environmental review for the project was incomplete. Now, that article in Reuters somewhat lays the blame at your doorstep.
That's absolutely deceptive. What Chevron proposed to do in that project was actually an expansion of the refinery. They were going to be refining dirtier and heavier grades of crude oil, but they did not disclose that as a part of the environmental review process, and that's why we sued to stop their project, and we won in several rounds in the courts. The crude unit that caught fire on Monday was not even a part of the proposed project that Chevron submitted for back in 2005. So that's absolutely false. We have, again, as I said before, have been advocating for Chevron to replace old pieces of equipment and continue to ask for Chevron to do that, especially in the wake of this fire. And then to try to lay the blame on our feet is absolutely deceptive.
Again, I'm speaking with Roger Kim, the Executive Director of the Asian Pacific Environmental Network in San Francisco, where he has been active for some time in trying to improve environmental conditions, particularly in the low-income area surrounding the Richmond refinery. Now, the crude that they are processing, you said they're dirtier crude. Is that coming from Alaska? This is most of the oil that comes in there comes from Alaska and the Middle East, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, Chevron buys its crude oil off the global market, so, you know, some of it comes from Alaska, some of it from the Middle East, some of it, you know, potentially is pre-processed tar sands as well. But as the sweeter, quote-unquote, sort of cleaner oils are diminishing, they want to transition to refining the dirtier and heavier oils, which means even higher content of pollution and metals and other chemicals that will end up in our communities and in the lungs of our members and kids in Richmond.
So this is, in fact, this is what the future will be. You're saying that because the expensive sweet crude that's all but gone in Texas, and it's more expensive, of course, to get it to the West Coast from the Middle East. I believe Nigeria also has sweet crude, but half of that oil is, in fact, stolen, my understanding is. So this is the future then. More dirtier oil, and this refinery that's built in 1902 is going to have to meet that challenge. And I take it what you're saying here, Roger Kim, is that they simply aren't investing in what needs to be done, let alone transitioning to alternatives.
What I'm saying is that the future that Chevron is choosing is a dead end. And we actually need to transition away from these fuels, not only for the sake of the lives and health of communities that live around refineries and other fossil fuel plants, but for the sake of the future of our planet. We see the wildfires and drought and heat waves across the country this year and around the world. We really need to do more to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels. And the only way to do this is to actually transition more quickly to cleaner and more renewable energies. And that is the future that Chevron should be investing in instead of taking us down this path of destruction.
Well, it seems, though, in a kind of ironic and rather crude way, that the more these big companies screw up by having defective equipment and having leaks that cause explosions and cause environmental damage and irritation to the lungs and breathing of people in the neighborhood, that the price of gas automatically goes up. So they're rewarded one way or the other. That's the part of it that I find extraordinary, is why should we consumers have to pay more for the lax behavior of these big corporations?
I agree. And I think we need to use all the tools in our toolbox and take away the subsidies from oil companies, help accelerate the development of cleaner, renewable energies, get a handle on how gas prices are moving in our country as well, and hold these companies accountable. I don't think they should profit off of a disaster like the one we just had here on Monday. We need our leaders and national leaders to get a handle on this issue.
Well, Roger Kim, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And we've just been speaking with Roger Kim, the Executive Director of the Asian Pacific Environmental Network, which organizes and builds the leadership of Asian immigrants and refugee communities to achieve environmental and social justice. Before joining APEN, he worked at the Oakland Foundation as the Environmental Program Fellow and at Global Green USA. In addition, Mr. Kim is on the board of the Center for Environmental Health and the Advisory Committee to Congresswoman Barbara Lee. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about how teddy bears were parachuted into Belarus in Raging the Dictator.